What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
I was actually selling some furniture.
Were you?
Second half. When I came back to the TV, I'm like, it's 2-1. It was 2-1 for Jamaica. I'm like, what's going on?
You need to back up to the selling the furniture. So yeah. What kind of furniture? Is this something you dabble in frequently? This is a side hustle. Well,
sounds like a metaphor to me.
It's one of my
selling furniture.
In fact, I gave it away. I felt bad for the guy.
Oh, really?
Did your dad know that you gave it away?
Yeah,
sorry, Sharon, I talked over you.
That's quite right. It was nothing interesting.
I said then he eliminated himself. Gross.
Oh, so our website's started. We just paid our first. It's a go. So, Dubs, do me a favor. I know you sent me some pictures, but there's one that you liked. I like them all, but there's one that you preferred. I just want to make sure we're all using the pictures that we prefer. I'll send everyone the decks.
Is everybody using a cheesy business one?
I think we should be more cash.
We should get headshots done at some point or do something, because I hate mine. It's a fucking Sportsnet one. I can't stand it.
I don't want to do it. Yeah,
are you doing like a double hand, like on your hips thing?
Akimbo?
Yeah. Sharms.
Me? Huh?
Revered pundit of Canadian soccer, Jim Sharman, also a superhero.
You know how those glamour shots are? They're just terrible, you know? Like, leaning forward and sticking.
Look natural. You guys ever see that on 30 Rock? Where Alec Baldwin's playing the boss and they're, like, filming a video. And he's like, what do I do with my hands? Like, and he's like picks up two mugs and he's like, oh, this is much better. This feels natural. Like, no. And then he like forgets the laws of opposition when he's walking. He's like, opposite arm, opposite leg. No, same arm, same leg.
I've been watching the best of 30 Rock.
I got a JC voice note here. You want to hear it?
Sure. Yep. That's how we'll start the show.
Hey guys, JC. I got lost after BMO Field last night, and I never really found my way home. So I won't be joining you tonight, but I hope you have a great show. And question, if you're underneath the road, but in the sewer when there's rats, what's like protocol on that? Because that's kind of where I'm at. But anyway, hopefully I'll one day get out of here. See you later.
JC's saying he can't make it tonight.
He's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle now.
Yeah.
How's your mic now, Jimmy? Is it working yet?
It is. Mm. I think it is.
Was that working?
Yeah, no. It is now.
No, I don't know. It is.
Yes. No. You have no idea.
Just lean into your computer just to make sure that when you speak, so we get the computer microphone. What are you doing?
This is stupid. I can tell you something else that's not working. That pose and your lilac sweatshirt.
I get a lot of compliments for this, Dubs.
Do you?
Well, how do you know?
That's nice. Keep wearing it then.
This color.
Thank you.
Anytime then, Sharms, for your birthday. We won't worry about, we'll pump them up.
You pump what up?
Jimmy's VO.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Jimmy's
okay.
VO?
Yeah, his VO.
I shower a few times a day, guys, just to let you know.
Oh, a few times.
Really? I smell like pie.
I don't like smell.
What kind of pie? What kind of pie?
Yeah, cheese and steak and shepherd's pie.
Mm-hmm.
And some tortillere, as I cooked today.
Mm. Honestly, you know what I noticed?
You spend like a day in the kitchen, like you just stink. You really do. It's awful. Well, it's awful. It's nice smells, but you kind of get sick.
You know, in your promo, I think it was on Instagram for Charmin's Proper Pies for, I think, Black Friday. There's a lovely picture of, I think it's beef and cheese pie. Steak and cheese. And I noticed the French translation. It's steak au fromage, not steak et fromage. And I was wondering if that was a conscious choice.
You're asking the wrong person. we actually use a translation company for that.
Mm.
So I don't know. I didn't question it because
you should.
I can barely speak English.
Because it's not wrong. It's just neither one nor the other. It's just, it's a choice.
But is this a Quebecer thing or is this a, because I know Ottawa French and international French is different, obviously, than Quebec French and Acadian French and all that. So steak au fromage versus steak et fromage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Want to hear a funny story about people and those bags of pies?
Yeah.
And it's a short story. I won't comment on it or give an opinion. I'll let you guys decide for yourselves. So we get the bags made and you get your ingredients on the back and your all the panels, which you must do for regulatory reasons. Anyway, so I screwed up, right? So the chicken balti pie, chicken balti pie, chicken curry. On the front, it says chicken balti pie. In the ingredients, in the English version, I forgot to put chicken in there. Poulet is in there in the French, but it's chicken balti, but I forgot. Someone complained about this.
Mm. And that we had chicken does not appear in the ingredient list?
Yeah. And wanted free pies. We said, well, thanks for telling us, but no, you're not getting free pies. And they complained to a certain, I won't say where, and we had to change the whole bags.
Oh, dear.
People. It's called chicken.
Yeah, do it. Yeah, do adjust your bag.
Who has the time to do that?
I'm not commenting on it, Jimmy. I'm just.
Well, I'll have you know, Judy Walsh, when I was vegan, called once because the Walsh family enjoyed this particular brand of apple pie that my mom got at the local grocer. And as Charms knows, the ingredients are listed in order of quantity. So the greater quantity is listed first to lesser quantity listed last. And so the last ingredient, so it was like a small percentage, was egg white as a glaze to make the crust nice and brown. And so me as a vegan, I could not eat it and I didn't eat it. My mom wrote to the company and they changed their ingredient and it became vegan thanks to Judy Walsh.
Ooh. Wow, really?
Who has time for that?
Judy has the time.
My mom had time for that.
Yeah.
A retired English teacher and these types of things were very important to her.
If we
now the crust is shit.
it was pale and forest, I'll have you know.
Dirty looking.
If we're putting an ingredients list together for Canada's men's soccer team, what do they need the most of?
Egg white.
Make it nice and brown and crusty on top when you bake them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
finish it off.
Yeah,
ooh, that's they
could use some of that.
Boy,
but before we get into that, I need to go back where Warmer said that Ottawa French is different from Quebec French.
Yeah, all different tones, all different slang. Acadian French is a whole another level. Where my family's from, because it's really, they use a lot of English words with a French accent. And Quebec has, you know, if you're from someone from like Chibougamau, it's different. And Shefferville, which is like way
or
up there.
Saguenay, Lac Saint Jean.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the Bay.
It's dialect.
Different.
Yeah, it's different dialect. But no, well, just no, dialect. It's not just dialect.
Make up their own words.
They make up their own words.
Well, then there's it's not fucking Paris French that we should be learning, is it?
Well, that's the thing. You don't have to learn petty French. You can learn international French, which is you can learn any French that makes you work, just like anybody around here. They come up with words like in England. We don't use the same words.
like Cajun.
A boot. What's a boot in?
Well, in Scotland, you go, it's a boot the way, you know, son.
A boot is where it's called a trunk here in Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
No, in the UK, we call it
a boot.
Yeah.
You've got some junk in your boot.
That's not bad, Amy.
It's not quite the same ring, is it?
No.
Treadmill.
Christ, are we going to keep going? Should we stop this right now, shouldn't we? There is some stuff to talk about.
I thought we were learning all the same French, but we're not.
Jimmy just knows gagnon. Gagnon.
Winner gagnon.
Win-win chicken
dinner. Go ahead, Charms.
Yeah, there's a game last night. Fuck, do you want to talk about it?
Sure.
Nah. Jesus Christ.
Do you not want to talk a little bit more about Bermuda grass? No?
No, I don't. I'm done with that.
Thank God.
Bermudian grass?
Bermudian.
Well, they did better on Bermuda grass than wherever the hell they're playing on last night. Let me ask you this. So Canada, they lose to Jamaica. Everyone listening to this knows that. Is the hard truth that Canada's just really average and took advantage of a CONCACAF in transition and decline during qualifying? Or am I just being emotional and just recency bias is turning me against this team? Anyone? Dubs? Do you want me to repeat it?
I don't know. I think it's a little bit of recency bias. I think everybody's feeling a little bit emotional. I think everybody's feeling like that game should have been taken care of. But, you know, was the decline long before the poor showing at the World Cup? I don't know. Or was there never really a decline? Because as you say, this was just a team that was measuring itself against lesser opponents. It's hard to say. I think that regardless, there was an absolute ascension of the program, of the talent, the individual players filling different positions that was allowing this team to express itself in ways that we hadn't seen for years. And then we came to expect more. I think that expectations definitely rose for this team and then got to a point where maybe they exceeded expectations, but also reality and what we should be expecting from this team. And then so that the team has failed to meet them, but I also think what that game yesterday, I mean, the expectations were reasonable for them, even coming down off that high of Kings of CONCACAF and all that sort of stuff, what had long since passed. That game was a winnable game. So I think there is a little bit, I think it's two things, as it always is. It's nuanced. It's not just black and white. This team is at a point where they are going to have to take a step forward. We have to take a hard look at our federation. We have to take a hard look at our development. But I also think with the talent that you have at your disposal, then this golden generation of talent, you must do better in that second half. You must do better if you look at the recent results in this last calendar year, you have to do better.
Is it a golden generation, Craig, or just a couple of really good players and a bunch of very average players?
No, I think that there was a, you know, taking advantage of a poor CONCACAF, no question about it. And I don't even, up until the last half an hour of the game last night, I wasn't impressed with Jamaica at all either. And they've really sort of underperformed. But at the same time, you look at the talent that we do have, and we have ample talent in the offensive third or even midfield. I mean, look at these players. I mean, Laren playing, you know, at top level. Buchanan is a great player. Davies, maybe the best settled left sided player in the world. David, Eustachio, Larea, like Osorio. These guys are all fantastic in that zone. And then you go to the back, and it's just been, it has been a problem. It has always been, certainly over the last few years, a question mark. They just have done quite well. Vitória did really well at his age, to be fair. He's done incredibly well, but he knows now, and everybody else knows as well, that he's not going to be able to stay in that and play at that level. Miller's slow, and it's a problem at the back line. It's just not good enough. They concede way too easily, and I thought the warning signs were there in the first half. There's a couple really good chances by Jamaica, even though they didn't play very well. And you just thought if they can turn this around and take advantage of their opportunities, this might be a different story. And that's what I just was found very bizarre. Some of the substitutions and just how they managed the game, it just seemed very strange to me, and almost like they thought it was already done and dusted, even with, you know, with Milan doing a few keepy uppies, like it looked like the result was already done and they were celebrating, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
And I saw a few people tweet after the fact that it was a sublime first 45 minutes. And I don't really think that it was. I think if you look at the grade A chances that were offered to this team that should have been put away, it could have easily been 2 or 3 nil, right? It probably should have been. And it should have been by Laren, right? He should have converted on those opportunities, on those chances. And he doesn't, but it was against a very, very poor Jamaican side that did not look engaged. They were so stretched. Canada just had like free rein to just run at that back line, which we knew was poor, was slow, and that was there to be exposed. And Canada did all of that. And then so the second half, yeah, Jamaica rallied and they came at Canada and they were aggressive. They moved low up into that midfield and Canada didn't have an answer for that aggressive mindset and like seeking to disrupt and exactly what he did on that first goal where he surprised Eustachio. The support was not there. I think Canada was a little bit naive. They're still flying those wing backs high up the pitch, especially when they were in their own defensive third. Not really giving those midfielders a whole lot of opportunities in terms of support, but also Eustachio should have done better. So I don't think it was this great gulf, you know, or void between the first half performance and the second half performance. I just think it was all of a sudden Jamaica showed up. So I don't know what your take was on it, Jimmy, sitting in that booth at BMO.
You know, I watched the first half and I was really, really pleased with the performance. I loved, you know, the attacking enthusiasm where we had numbers going. At times you look, it was like the Red Arrows. It was just numbers going forward. We overloaded the box. We got into those great areas. We're creating chances. And I loved it. A couple times it scared me a little bit because I didn't think we were defensively organized. And then that's where you need your two center backs to say, okay, if we're going to go forward, we're going to bomb on. We've got to sense danger. And I don't think we sense danger a lot of the time. And meaning that you've got to organize. Yeah, okay, if your fullbacks want to go and your midfielders and the two center backs have got to organize. They've got to pull people back in. They've got to pull the reins. And I don't think we didn't have that leader that could pull people into place and say, yeah, okay, let's go forward, but let's sense danger. What are we losing? Then what happens? We got to make sure that we're organized, defensively sound. And I think sometimes we weren't. The second half, I felt the Jamaicans changed their formation as well. They went more with a 4-2-4. They had to, because they had to go for it. They had to push forward. But then that's where we've got to match their energy. And we didn't match their energy. We didn't. We dropped off a little bit. And I understand the tactical switch where he brought on Oso, he brought on Kay, he brought on Hoylett as soon as we went up, because you had to. You had to do that because we had too many attacking players that wanted to go forward. They didn't want to defend. You're winning the game now. And that's where you needed that, you know, that organization, that discipline where we're going to get into our two banks of four. We're going to defend now. We're going to be organized because they're going to throw everything at us. And we've got to be disciplined because the game got so stretched at one point. It was just end to end, end to end. You can't play that way. You cannot play that way. There's got to be some discipline that's involved in the match, especially with 10 to 15 minutes left to go. So I got the substitutions. I understand what they were trying to do because they more or less went with a 4-5-1. And then you get a shitty penalty. Was it a penalty? For me, I don't think so. I thought it was soft. I thought it was very fucking soft, that penalty. Mm-hmm. And as the ball's coming across, Stekio's, his arms next to his body, he's pulled it in tight. It's come off him a little bit in a fraction. And it's not like it hit him and it was a massive deflection. It's gone elsewhere. It's brushed along his arm, and gave a penalty. Mm-hmm. And I thought that the Canadians were a little bit hard done by with that call as well. But overall, for me in the second half, tactical substitutions got it. We just did not match the work rate of the Jamaicans in the second half, and that's what causes problems because we were a little bit cavalier at times.
So you think Morrow got the substitutions right? So tactical substitutions, you agree. What about the players who came in for that role, though?
You got 12 minutes left in the match. You're up by one. You know what's coming now. Jamaicans got to throw everything. And the Jamaican substitutions, we're all putting attacking players on. So why do we need attackers on? We don't need the attacking players on right now because we don't need another goal. We've got to defend. We've got to be organized and disciplined.
So, but that mindset wasn't there, though. You make the substitution, but then it just seems like on the pitch, nobody had that awareness to recognize that's what they had to do. Those wingbacks were still flying up, seemingly with no defensive responsibility and collectively
the wingbacks weren't flying up in the last 10, 15 minutes of the match. They weren't going forward. No, because we more or less went in that 4-5-1 shape because Kyle Lyron came on, also came on.
You talking after the penalty?
No. When we went up, when we scored and we were back in the lead.
Kone's goal was to equalize, was it not? To make it 2-2?
Right.
No, the only time we were in the lead was when you were up 1-0.
That's what I mean. Like once Kone scored, then we're 2-2. Then you make the substitutions. What was there, like 13 minutes left in the match?
I think it was a 74th minute. He makes that triple substitution.
Well, Morrow said post-match, he said that he'd hoped to actually make that switch a lot earlier, but then Jamaica scored, and he had to keep the offensive players on the pitch longer.
They were lined up to come on. And then we went back the other way and we scored. And then he made the substitution. So he brought in Junior. He brought in Anthony Kay and he brought in Osso. Mm-hmm. And that was to shore it up now. Because you don't need to go forward. You were in a good spot right now. We're holding the lead. And I understand what he was trying to do. Because at that point as well, you had Davies, you had Buchanan, you had Lahren, you had David. Like these guys want to go forward. They don't want to defend. First 45 minutes, they were doing both parts. They were doing the dirty work as well as getting the joy going forward.
Yeah.
But once you come towards that last 15, 20 minutes of the game, you can't expect those forward-thinking players to defend. That's not in their nature. And that's why you have to make that substitution to bring in those defensive-minded players that can hold the shape.
Yeah, I don't debate that. I think Piet was probably more suited to close out that game than, say, a Marc-Anthony Kaye.
Yeah, but I think you know
what was required at that point.
You've got to look at it as well. And I like Piet. I like the way he plays. But he doesn't have the legs. He doesn't have that. And what I mean by the legs, he's not quick enough. He's not quick enough to get back and track runners.
And Kaye is?
He's a little bit quicker than what Piet is. Piet's not quick. He's not a quick player. And you saw him when against Japan as well. He got exposed. He gets exposed against those midfielders that
fucking everybody did against Japan.
But what I mean is, at the international level, it's a different standard. It's about the pace. There's so much pace in the game, and they lose runners. And I felt that that's where Piet struggled a little bit. Yeah, on the ball, clever, can read the game, but he doesn't have the pace. Cornelius as well at center back. Does not have the pace. He got exposed a number of times trying to track runners. Can't do it.
Slow.
Pace.
Oh, my God.
The slow.
He got outran multiple times with the guy.
That's the reason why you put Larea goes to left back. Larea's got the pace. He can deal with one-on-one. Right? You put Johnson that was on the right. He was dealing with it. He was showing Gray inside. All day long. Bring him inside. We're numbers up. We can deal with this. Johnson didn't want Gray going down the line because Johnson couldn't hold him because he doesn't have the pace to match Gray. So he's got to be clever. But when you're down the middle and you're in the spine, Cornelius didn't have the pace. He does not have the pace to get back. That's where
he's not insulated by another guy with pace either.
But your center midfielders, they got to have the pace. We got pace going forward. You got to match up those. And that's where you keep talking about, you know, in football where we say you got to win your individual battles. Your individual battles is you got to match up all over the park. And if you're playing against Alphonso Davies, and I thought the right back, what was his name? Lukubidius. I thought he was very, very good at right back because he matched up with Davies. And I thought he was good defensively because he matched up it with Davies' pace. And he struggled at times. And that's where we let ourselves down was we struggled defensively where we couldn't match their pace. And we didn't match their work effort.
Or the intensity in the second half.
And the intensity. But
the last thing about subs, and then I'm gonna move off of this. We can talk about something else, Sharms. But Russell Rowe in for Eustachio. You can't let Moore off the hook for that. What's he thinking with that move?
I was just going forward. You need another attack mind.
Why do you take Eustachio off, though? You need a goal and you're going to pull him off the pitch?
I wonder how much was fatigue. I mean, these guys had played, what, 2 games in 3 days at that point. That's why he took off Kone. And Kone had played pretty well, I thought. He was running. He was an engine in that midfield.
Kone was brilliant. I really thought that was probably one of the best games I've ever seen Kone play. And because when you're there and you're live and you see it, a lot of times you don't see it on camera. But when you see it, when you're live and you can see the movement, what they're doing, tracking runners, the amount of ground that they cover off the ball, I thought Kone was absolutely brilliant. That's probably one of the best games that I've ever seen Kone play. But when you come to the last, you know, the last eight minutes of the match, you've got to throw everything forward. You're trying to get all the attacking players onto the pitch, as many as you can. And that's why they went with three in the back. They had Larea, they had Miller, and they had, Cornelius at the back. They ended up going with three just to push everybody forward, trying to get as many attack players as they had on the pitch.
Mind you, Cornelius has got pace compared to the guy he replaced, right? Steven Vitoria. So maybe the center back is an area of concern. It is. We know it is. Well, but listen, I mean, we can talk about pace and formations and substitutions. Yeah, I get all that. But wasn't the biggest concern that second half the complete lack of goddamn effort to start the half and they're being overrun, out-muscled, losing 50-50s? But how does that happen?
Yeah.
But for Milan Boyan to come out post-match and say, we thought it would be easy at 1-0. I give him credit for being honest. Who the hell are these guys that they are?
I know I'm talking a lot because I'm frustrated a little bit, and I was there watching it. Right, for me, we lost a midfield battle when Lowe went into the middle of the park. Mm-hmm. We lost it because he came in with a little bit of aggression. He started throwing his body around, and that's where Stax, you know this as well, right? When there was a tackle that I think it went on Eustachio, and Lowe came in from behind. That's where you need the tougher guys, the older experienced guys getting in Lowe's face right now. Saying more or less, you fucking touch him one more time, I am going through you like there's no tomorrow. And the next time Lowe touches that ball, you are fucking smashing him. Smashing him. Letting him know, going, don't even think about going after Eustachio again. Because he came from behind on Eustachio. Now, if I'm on the pitch, you're on the pitch, anybody else on the pitch that's got a little bit of balls, you're going after Lowe and say, don't ever do that again. Because Lowe's trying to make a statement, right? Trying to get that little bit of fear. Because Eustachio's not that type of guy that's physical and he wants to play that way. Eustachio's the type of guy who wants to get in the ball and he wants to play football. He's a beautiful footballer. But you need somebody that's on that pitch that's going to protect Eustachio as well. And let those certain players on the pitch know you're not going to play that game. You're not going to do it. Next time.
Who is that guy, Jimmy? In Canada, who is that guy? Who do we have available?
I don't know who that guy is that can roll up the sleeves and stick up for certain players and say, don't even think about doing that again.
Is this the first game that we really realized that Atiba is now retired?
Yeah, we got bullied in the middle of the park. There's nobody that's going to go in there with a good tackle and give somebody something.
There's no leadership. There was none there, right?
And then just let me finish, Sharms, and then you guys can go on whatever you like. But
you want to tell us something for free?
I'm going to tell you this for free. That fucking drove me crazy. When that ball gets back, played back to Boran, and he starts juggling the ball, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. Because you guys have all played. You understand. When someone does that and they start taking the piss a little bit, you get fired up now. You get fired up, you get wound up, and sure enough, A minute after he did that, Jamaica came back the other way and scored.
I don't even think it was a minute.
And the players ran right over to Borat and fucking were thrown in his face. Like, you can't do that. You're just enticing them. You're fueling the fire. You know, we talk about experience. You got to respect the game. You got to respect your opposition. You can't do that. You cannot do that. And the minute that he did that, I looked at Wheeler and I shook my head and I went, what is he doing now? Why? Why?
Well, you said it on the broadcast. You're like, oh no, I don't like that. Can't be doing that.
Why would you do that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Sharms, you said it's about leadership and it's part of leadership, but it's also having the right balance on the pitch. And you mentioned Atiba, perhaps that's the ingredient that's missing. But, you know, a guy like Daniil Henry for a long time, we're like, why is he still here? Maybe he's kind of like that hard man that was there to send messages occasionally, right? To just go through a guy. Yeah, and like, then that player didn't think about it again, right?
You're totally that's right, part Dubs. Of it. You're totally right, Dubs, because if Daniil Henry was on that pitch, and people can say whatever they want to say about Daniil Henry, Daniil Henry would have went through low like there's no tomorrow and let him know. Don't even think about doing that again.
Yep.
And that would have been for a second penalty he gave away.
There he is. There's a big man.
Yeah, I know you're going to go on the football
side. Give me a break.
But physically, he would have done that for us, and you know that.
Yeah, but it's part of what you were saying. It's part of what you're saying before, Jimmy, like that tackle early on by Lowe, because that was maybe, I think, 5 minutes into that second half, and it was right on the halfway stripe. That's really hard tackle on Eustachio from behind. There should have been an answer for that, and there wasn't. And that allowed him to have free reign to just bully everybody in the middle of the park. If that was me, I would have left a stud on somebody. And same thing with Borjan. The next time we had an offensive corner kick, I would have made sure I like went up for the header and just kind of missed and laid in with an elbow or something, right?
Because
you have to send a message. You have to.
You're 100% right, Dubs, because then what ended up happening was Lowe had the freedom of the middle of the park because he went through Eustachio. Then he went through Davies. He went through a couple of players in the middle of the park and started taking full control of it. Totally right in what you're saying.
But I thought they were brothers, Jimmy. I thought they were brothers and they stick up for each other.
Well, we didn't have that.
I wanted to read.
We can't say that they don't, but I mean, it goes back to that balance piece that I'm saying. You have to have the skill. You have to have the finesse. You have to have the pace. You have to have the veteran leadership. You have to have the youth, but they're also in there. There has to be that blue collar approach. And what Jimmy's saying in the middle of the park, we got absolutely bossed and nobody was able to meet that energy, not because we didn't have the talent or the wherewithal to do it. It's because nobody was willing to get stuck in and meet them on aggression and intensity and tackling and regains and interceptions, all the fucking grunt work. Nobody was willing to do that.
And Canada's had that, though. In World Cup qualifying, they had that spadesworth, right? They were getting stuck in. They are the kings of chaos. They like things to go, you know, us against the world. That's what John Herdman built, that mindset. Where's that gone? It can't just be because Atiba's left. Yeah? Yeah. I mean, listen, when I mentioned Atiba, I'm talking about Atiba 5 years ago, not the recent, you know, couple of years, right? What happened? Do you look at the coach? Is it Morrow? I'm not pointing fingers here, but something went very wrong in that second half, and it's really cost Canada. But like you said, Dubs, this isn't just a one-off. This goes back to World Cup qualifying. After they qualified as Jamaica, there's some dodgy results, weren't putting performances in. It's been a long time now. Is this just what it is, Craig? That's my point. Is this kind of what Canada is? Decent team, especially going forward, but they are so far from being a complete team. And perhaps we really have underrated CONCACAF and just, you know, what's happening within CONCACAF.
Well, I think we showed how naive we were because for 160 minutes, Jamaica showed nothing. Nothing. I nearly, you know, I was so close to putting a tweet out. I was like, outside of Blake, is there a Jamaican player that actually gives a shit? Because they certainly don't look like it. And I was like, you know what? They created a decent chance just before halftime. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to hold off on that tweet because they have really good players. They have dangerous players. And they were just like, when are they going to turn it on? And they turned it on in the last half an hour before that. And I think that's where we were naive to think, you know, hey, we'll have a little juggle up here. We're going to see this game out. They're showing no signs of scoring. The only time we ever gave a goal away is when we fell asleep in Jamaica. And I think they went on cruise control and they weren't able to switch back on again. And it was, you know, with a dodgy penalty, whatever, you know, it, these mm-hmm. things happen. They didn't put their chances away, like in the first half with Laren, with that. It was a good save by Blake. Give him credit. He made some very good saves. And our goalkeeper didn't. So, you know, that's a difference right there, too, in the two goalkeepers on the night. But I think it was just the case of being naive and Jamaica just turned it on and they weren't able to deal with it.
Yeah, because there was that warning sign, that warning bell with that. Was it Bailey off the bar a couple minutes into the second half? That should have been it. That was your wake up call. It was provided to you. You didn't have to conjure it. It was right there.
Yeah, and just before halftime, ball by Gray, it was put. I thought he should have scored it, and he missed the header, and it just went by him, glanced. I can't remember who it was.
Nicholson.
Yeah, that's right. And I was like, ooh, that's a good chance. I thought he should have buried that. And it's like, hold off on that tweet, big man.
Okay, boys and girls. So what do you do now? You got a game in March. It's a long way to think about and overanalyze against Trinidad and Tobago, a game that you should win.
The U.S. just lost 2-1 to them. Yep.
So what do you do? If you whoever the coach is right now, having an interim coach isn't the perfect situation because Morrow, he couldn't make too many dramatic calls or changes, right? He had to keep it pretty safe, and it looked pretty good for 45 minutes yesterday. It looked okay in the first leg in Jamaica, but whoever's the coach going to be, what do you do with this group, right? There's no youngster coming through who's going to force himself onto this team and solve all the problems. There's some youngsters in the pipeline, great, but what we see right now is kind of what we're going to have for the next couple of years. You might see a Fougerel. You might see him get some, you know, there's some players who might get opportunities, but not many. No,
that was Ottawa just. French.
That's right.
Thank you, Craig. Yes, exactly. But what was he supposed to do? Okay, so the one thing you can do is your goalkeeper, right? Your goalkeeper is also your captain. So you take Milan Borjan out of the side. They need a new captain. Who's the leader? Who's going to be the guy to calm things down, to make that tackle, to have a little word in the ear of some, over-exuberant opponent?
Well, being a goalkeeper, you can't do shit anyway. Captain as a goalkeeper is like, if you think that he's got a chance to get involved or even maybe get a little extra from the referee, captain as a goalkeeper is the stupidest thing I ever thought. I was captain a couple times. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't want to be captain, and I can't even do anything about it anyway. I'm in the 18-yard box. What happens if something happens down the other end? I'm going to run down there and get a little extra rain from the referee.
Didn't say no.
Because that armband affords you a certain amount of latitude. You can run alongside the referee, and you can have a chat, and sometimes not the nicest of chats, and you're afforded a little bit more leeway than the other players because you are wearing that armband. And as a goalkeeper, being the captain, you can't do that. Unless you're out for a fucking stroll, and then you're into even more trouble.
So, Jimmy, what do you do? What's the plan then? How do we change this?
Well, it's a good question, but I just wanted to know. I know it's. I'm just going back to something, but I wanted
it's
to know.
Subs, isn't it? It's a subs again.
Oh, no, please, let's talk about the subs some more.
But it was more the shot that came in. Remember when Lowe tackles Estecchio, wins the ball, gives it to Nicholson. Forrest, I want your opinion. Do you think Borjan could have saved that? Because it was right inside. It was under his arm, coming right by his ribcage. Mm-hmm. I looked at that and I thought, he should have got something on that, no?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It beat him center of the net. He hit it well, but I think he was almost in the position where he was going to just spread himself or, you know, but it leaves him in a position where he can't react. But anything that beats you, I mean, if you're in training and if you got a phone booth and you tell a guy to beat you in the phone booth, you can take 100 shots and not beat him. But that beat him in a phone booth.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was so close to him.
Yeah, and I thought there was enough distance from where the shot was. I mean, there was, sometimes when if he's 3 yards away, but there was enough distance. But
he's probably, 16 yards out?
A little bit closer than that, I think, but not much. Like 14 to 13 or something like that. And Milan was like 5 yards, 4 yards out, something like that. Yeah, it beat him. It's right in the center of the net. But
Even the second goal, Borjan sliding over, maybe it's a trickier save, Forrest. Maybe I should be giving him more credit. But like you're trying to make yourself big there, but you're outstretched. Like, I don't know. That one also looked savable.
Yeah, it was savable. And I thought he did everything right. And sometimes you can get yourself in that position where you're spreading yourself. You're almost favored to make the save because of the proximity of where the shot's coming. But it somehow finds the gap through your legs or under your arm. And you're just like, fuck. So I didn't think he made a mistake there, but it was certainly one where it was savable. And at the moment, I think that some goalkeepers make the net look really small and some make it look really big. And at the moment, it looks really big when Milan is playing, I got to be honest.
I don't understand why you're not the Canadian technical director for coaching or for goalkeeping. I really don't. I don't understand.
He's selling furniture on Facebook.
Jay.
Yeah.
The highest level of goalkeeping.
You're giving furniture away out here. What are you talking about? I got no time for that.
You got the most expertise in goalkeeping in this country, and why are you not involved in Canada soccer? I don't understand. It blows my fucking mind.
Craig, when was the last time someone called you from Canada soccer about a potential role?
Look at the goalkeepers. Help us.
Never. Then no one's ever called you from Canada soccer about a role, ever.
No.
It's a fucking disgrace.
You have way more experience than any goalkeeping coach that's been on that bench. Men and women, and they don't ask for your expertise. I don't get it. I don't get it. Sums it all up.
I think sometimes it's a bit of a threat to some people. I don't know.
I've played 450 game professional football games in my life, right? Dubs has played professional football, represented this country. We're asking you for your expertise on goalkeeping. We're asking you.
In fairness, Wonga and I aren't.
Fucking crazy. No.
That's right.
I want to know about what your favorite pie is. That's what I want to know.
I think if Craig wrote a book, though, it should be called Spreading Myself: Tales of Goalkeeping by Craig Forrest.
Make yourself big.
Yeah.
That's a different book. That's a different chapter of the book, anyway.
Instead of massive.
No, it's crazy. We could go on for hours about what Canada soccer should do. Do you think Mauro Biello has ruled himself out now of the top job, given what happened? Or is that too soon to say?
I don't know. First half, I think you're looking going, he's got the job. Second half, I'm kind of full of puzzle.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's tough. It's 45 minutes. I know. You've got a lot of stuff right.
It's crazy. It's a football. It's crazy.
Unforgiving, isn't it?
The bottom line is, whether it's Mauro's the right guy or not, doesn't matter. They have to go through the right process and they'll get their general secretary. And then they have to interview people for this job. It's an important job, not just within Canada. And we discussed the Tommy Wilden Juniors and the Bobby Smirniotis who should be interviewed for this job, as well as Mauro. But there's other people outside of Canada. You look at Jamaica, their coach, the Icelandic coach, right?
He's
a pedigreed football man though, right? With success internationally. Jamaica have no money. Mm-hmm. Right? There's people out there. So, but you know what? That game in March is coming sooner and sooner. They better get their shit together.
They dodged a bit of a bullet, though, with Mexico winning on penalties, didn't they?
Oh, my God, yeah. TNT is going to look okay.
Yeah, I mean, they wouldn't have played. I don't think they would have been able to play Mexico, right?
Oh, that's right.
System. Yeah,
it was never possible.
FIFA rankings, yeah.
That's true. Can I read a couple of tweets from our peeps out there? The first one is from Craig Forrest. We're conference level in defense and top drawer in attack.
And maybe Craig should put his phone number out on Twitter so people actually know
how
to call him. Maybe that's what it is. They don't know how to call Craig.
That's right.
Yeah. No, it's completely true. Craig is a mystery to all of us. Our friend Scott Thompson, while results can sometimes be deceptive, these ones aren't. Hasn't been a good performance for some time. Stone Monkey, who I'm not sure who that is, we got cocky and let the game slip. I thought Borjan's comments were spot on about it, and his keepy uppies were a perfect representation of that attitude. And I thought that was really poignant. And then the one that I want to know is, and you guys tell me, it's Harry Nikolidakakis.
Not so easy, is it?
Well, that was a hard one.
It's all Greek to Wonger.
It's all Greek. We need to get a tournament coach. This won't stop.
That's Montreal
even if
Greek.
We beat TNT. Yeah, it's Montreal English.
Harry's my guy, actually. I know Harry. He's from Montreal.
You?
Yeah.
So explain to me, is there something to be said about a tournament coach, like someone who can come in and knows international tournament footy? Is it a different breed of coaching or a different style?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think, like, you look at a John Herdman, I mean, and I think that was his probably biggest concern for himself personally, is that he lacked the actual experience at club level. But he wants to challenge himself, but it's a completely different animal when you're in, day out, as opposed to spending months trying to get everything ready for every single minute that you have the team together, because you do not have them for that long. And Mora, we'd love to have these guys because I think this is a talented group to be able to put them together and spend some time with them a couple of weeks and it melt, you know, gel together. But they certainly haven't been able to do that, and they don't have the luxury of doing that. So unfortunately for them.
And the last
different
one,
thing, tournament coaching. And
the last one was, I forget who the name of the guy was, but he said, you know, Canada soccer's in free fall. And I was thinking about Sharms talking about earlier, just what do you do when not only are the players not showing up in that second half, the coach is on, you know, he's right now and, kind of coaching while he doesn't have the job, he's interim. And even the Federation has all these interim people. Like, does that affect how you're going to play on the field when things are just, because I don't want to always blame, like last night's match, I don't sit there and blame Canada soccer, even though people want to. I don't think that's a Canada soccer when you're up 1-0 going into the second half and already to
3-1.
Yeah, 3-1 on aggregate. And as Dub said, you got your wake-up call.
You, Wonger, throwing things like on aggregate around.
Yeah, I'm learning.
Well, it's true, Wonger. So go ahead.
Go ahead. No. But
I heard a few people talking about how missing out that window in September, not playing enough games was the reason. But that wasn't the reason during the first half.
No.
You're playing great football in the first half.
Yeah. Like at some point, the guys on the field, to Jimmy's point, you need someone to say, hold everyone accountable. What the fuck are we doing here? Keep your positioning, hustle, beat the guy in front of you, give him a nudge, give him a spike, like Amy says. What the hell are you doing out there? Yeah. Play the game.
Listen, that performance last night has got fuck all to do with Canada soccer.
It's got
nothing to do with Canada soccer whatsoever. Yeah. That's about the players that are on that pitch. Nobody else. No one else. It's all about the players. And if they've lost a game, the players have lost a game. Nobody else has lost it. And if they won it, the players won the match. It's not all the administrative in Canada soccer. No chance. It's the players. And when you go out there and you play your football, and Forrest and Dubs, you know, when you go on that pitch, all the bullshit and the fluff that's all outside does not come into play when you're on that pitch playing football. Doesn't even come into your mind. Mm-hmm. It doesn't.
No. If I threw one in, I would be like, Canada soccer, fuck it.
Well, look at Argentina yesterday. Argentina, Brazil. Argentina had to watch their fans get their living shit kicked out of them by the police.
Oh, Christ.
It was awful. And they decided to keep playing the match to try and calm things down. And they won the match. They kept their shit together, right? Because, like you said, once you're in that field, the out. With distractions are not that. You forget about it, right? So there's such excuses. I tell you what, they didn't worry me. I'm not surprised at all. It's just so typical. Again, it's just down this whole argument about where are we as a soccer nation. The fact that he didn't try and sell that top level.
Yeah.
At BMO Field.
Again.
I mean, that thing was packed during the World Cup qualifying. It's packed when TFC play. Where the hell are these fans? On what is a big game?
It's a shit night. You guys know that. The weather was terrible.
Yeah, no, it was a horrible night.
But they didn't even try and sell it, though. That was before. I mean, that wasn't even for sale, that top level. The interest wasn't good enough to open it up. I think it's I'm not surprised. I'm not blaming Canada Soccer, although there wasn't much promotion, but I'm not blaming them for it. It's just, again, a hard reality check as to what we are as a footballing nation right now.
Our friends Dave and Claudio from the Supporters Club and from the Voyageurs texted me and said the last time Canada lost at BMO was in 2010 versus Peru. So that place is a fortress because people were talking about, hey, so there, it's obviously they're comfortable there. They've done well there. But last night was chicanerie, right, Dubs? A little. That was a ridiculous.
Is that Quebec French or French?
That's Ottawa French for chicanerie in English, mm-hmm. is the word.
Okay.
Did they say it was in Montreal or?
Yeah. It was horrible to watch that second half. You felt it in the press box. Jimmy probably was getting, like, his blood pressure was over the fucking moon. Wheeler was probably had the blood pressure monitor on you. Your face must have been so red when you were calling that game. Just
I was losing it at some mm-hmm. points. I was just disappointed, really, because I thought in the first half we were so good. Disappointed to see just all crumble.
I'll tell you this for free.
Yes.
A guy like Alphonso Davies, potentially up there when you're talking about the best left-sided footballer in the world, a football nation anywhere on the planet would sell out just for him alone.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He would be almost at God level in most countries. And then we have more bigger crowds for MLS. Those guys, like, is there a case of MLS fans don't even know what the fuck they're like, what they're looking at?
Yeah.
Like Jonathan David, Ligue 1, you know, you guys got plenty of Laren, Davies, top winning Champions Leagues. Like, what do you have to put on the field for people to show up? I mean, he's box office. I mean, he is a player that you go to see and you pay money to see. Every time he gets the ball, you're like, even when he's playing poorly, I mean, when he plays with top class players around him at Bayern Munich, and he overplays for Canada, I got to say, because he's playing A, B, C, D, and everything else. But he is a top drawer player. And when he gets the ball at his feet, man, oh man, you know the thing is going to happen.
Well, even Jamaica, Craig, I mean, that was a decent Jamaica team, right? Damari Gray, Leon Bailey, I know Antonio wasn't there. They're a fun team. There's some big names there. If you're a football fan, wouldn't you just go out to see them?
Well, that too, right? Premier League players.
There's a ton of talent out there.
Yeah.
Yesterday. And they could barely sell. I mean, 17,000, I think, was the official number. And people that were there were fantastic. It was loud. But the fact they couldn't sell the full stadium is just, again, not in the least bit surprising, but where we're at.
They also setting the bar so low, not even opening up that top bowl. Mm-hmm. There just seems to be a real disconnect and an inability to seize when's the right moment to do certain things. You know,
if the demand was there, though, Dubs, if the demand was there, they would have opened it up, I would think.
You think so?
As
a response to slow ticket sales?
Yeah, often they'll do that, right?
Did anyone see or hear
the promotion
a commercial? I didn't hear a thing about it. Not one. No. You know, there is a level of marketing. And, you know, Craig always asks, what's the first thing you would do if you were, like, you know, VP of marketing at Canada Soccer? And it would be getting to know every player and every coach and having them be your best ambassadors for this sport. And there's guys that are going to be great.
Shit.
Do they? You don't know. You can't say that.
I don't know, but I have a suspicion that they don't give a fuck.
No, but if you treat them as a professional, say, hey, part of your job here is a legacy approach. You play to the vanity and their ego, and legacy plays. And if it's about, you know, leaving your mark, I think a lot of these guys would come to the table, be press friendly, show up with a little more enthusiasm than they do, because they don't. I mean, they really don't push the sport.
Warner,
yeah.
Do you remember the TFC press conference? John Molinaro.
Molinaro, J-Mo sitting there, yeah.
Not many come out.
That, in fairness, that's because they weren't invited out.
Yeah, all right.
There's no press release. There's no invitations. Don't get me fucking started on that bullshit.
Yeah, that would help. But,
I mean, listen, we have a podcast where for some God unknown reason, thousands of people listen to it every week. And we talk about Canadian soccer, right? They could have got airtime with us for practically nothing, Wonger.
Yeah. And not only that,
give us some tickets.
We do it for free.
Yeah.
At the end, well, we're talking about, Rhonda said, hey, Rhonda Brownlee, she reached out to Amy and to I and just said, hey, can you guys promote Sinky's Bon Voyage games, right? And we've been doing it.
Because of us. And 37,000 tickets right now because of us.
Thanks to us.
Thanks to us. But there's that opportunity. So Sharms, you're right. You know, we were the ones telling people about the match. It's not like they reached out to us to tell us. We want to see these people win. Those people, the Canada soccer teams.
Oh, and I do want to say, talking about people that support us, remember that wonderful review that we read out a couple pods ago?
Pugs Wizard?
No, Salish C.
Okay.
It's like equal parts.
Equal parts intelligent, but
simultaneously dumb. Chris Corrigan on
Twitter. That was Chris. Oh, thanks, yeah. Chris.
Was it?
Thanks,
okay, Chris. It was Chris. Yeah. He has some great points, by the way, last night.
He did. He's well-spoken.
Yep. He's one of the rare and few intelligent listeners we have.
And also, I have to say, Carrie Ryan's name twice because she texted me and said, every time you say Claudio or Dave's name, it's like almost like Beetlejuice. I've got to say her name twice. So there you go, Carrie.
All right. Listen, I've got to go because I've got to celebrate my wife's birthday. Yes, she turns 25.
Is she home?
Just got home, actually. Yeah. And she's ordered sushi for her.
Nice. She's like, I hate pies. I'm so sick of pie.
We don't eat pies.
I hate eating pie and the breakfast and lunch.
You think you can get this kind of physique by eating pies?
Oh my God.
Charms might be eating some pie later.
Oh,
no.
Where's my birthday present? Well.
What do we call that actually in good Quebecois French? A tarte au poil.
Tarte au poil?
Tarte au poil?
Hair pie.
Oh, God.
What's it called?
Tarte au poil.
Tarte au poil. That's a hair pie.
Hairy pie, yeah, okay.
Well, you guys want to continue, you can.
No, you always say this. Just sign off.
All right. I didn't get to the Serginho Dest red card. We'll get to it on Friday, shall we? Because I mean, it's great. Yeah, I want to find out from you guys the most angry you've been at a teammate, right? Ever. Ooh, okay. Not now. Think about it for a Friday show. Hope you enjoyed that. Generally speaking, we are happy people. Just when Canada put that kind of performance in, it does piss us off. When they play well, we'll celebrate them, though. That's for sure.
But they'll be back. Newspapers.
Yeah. Trinidad and Tobago. How could they lose that one, huh?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to Copa. We're going to Copa.
Yeah, we are. And then watch out. Brazil, Argentina, you're in trouble.
Footy Prime Road Trip.
All right.
My newspaper?
Brazil.
Yeah, that's it, that.
First loss at home.
Keep selling furniture for us.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG.
Laters.
Have a good night.
Bye, guys. Happy birthday, Tony.
Happy birthday, Tony.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening and back to the show. Oh.